I speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer. Amen. In our current information age, we struggle on a daily basis trying to decide between multiple stories. These stories no longer present different interpretations of commonly accepted facts, but now present us with different sets of facts. These are facts that are now alternative facts. There is truth, it seems, and there is alternate truth. There are stories, it seems, and then there are other stories. Yet this has, as it has always been, if expressed perhaps less extremely and in less incendiary ways than is afflicting our current climate. You see, because each one of us constructs our individual stories to explain the experience of our lives, the experience of the impact of the world upon us. And so together, cultures and faiths and nations, communities, construct collective stories that tell us about their origins. They answer questions like, who are we? Why are we here? And how do things come to be the way they are? And so both as individuals and as communities, our stories mold and shape our perceptions of self and of the world. And once brought to life, stories make claims upon us. And herein lies the current dilemma as a culture and as a nation. We no longer share agreed upon interpretations of events, events that shape our perception of who we are, why we're here, and how we came to be this way. Christmas is a story about God, about how God becomes known to us. And God comes to us not through a timeless mystery, but within the flow of events that form part of our shared human history. Even so, there are different interpretations of how God has entered into the flow of events in human history. You see, there is and there always has been more than one way to tell a story. The thing about the way we tell stories is whichever way we tell them, we end up with a personal choice. Why this story rather than that one? Matthew gives us a story about how God enters into the flow of events in human history. Matthew's story is about Jesus and Joseph and the fulfillment of Israel's long dream of a new Moses. Matthew has kings of the earth who come to pay homage to Israel's infant king. And like Moses, Matthew has Jesus taken down into Egypt, but not as a prince, but as an infant refugee in the company of his parents, who are in flight to protect the young child's life. And in 2021, we easily identify with Matthew's story of forced migration and flight to safety as the world is rocked by the largest global movement of peoples now and since the Second World War. And choosing to believe in Matthew's story might help us to clarify what our priorities in the current conflicting debates around immigration might be. In Jesus, God enters into the experience of homelessness in order to call the homelessness that is within each one of us home. But there's Luke's story, an interpretation seemingly of the same event, but you could be forgiven for thinking maybe this is a different event altogether, because Luke's story is about Jesus and Mary. In Mary, the adolescent girl, pregnant, out of wedlock, scared, out of her wits by the dangerous predicament she finds herself in, becomes the image of courage born of vulnerability. Last week on Advent 4, I spoke about Mary's story and how it evokes powerful resonances of the vulnerability of women in the face of a ruthless patriarchy that even today continues to control women and their reproductive bodies. Luke's story is about the role we human beings play as essential agents who collaborate with God's dream of putting the world to rights. Luke's Jesus is a universal savior, born in utter obscurity, witnessed not by kings, but by illiterate shepherds. Luke's Jesus is born among the outcast and excluded, those of us who are of little account in the world. And this morning we heard from John's story, which offers a completely different take on how God the Creator enters within the experience of the creation. In John, there are no birth facts, no Joseph, no Mary, no wise men, no shepherds, no angels. In contrast, John constructs the narrative in which Jesus' entry into the human experience is reframed as a new Genesis event, hearkening back to the very origins of the creation itself. John begins with, "In the beginning was the Word." In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the Word, the Logos, was present. Logos translates into English rather ambiguously and confusingly as the Word. But what Logos conveys is an energy of communication outwards. The Logos is the communicative aspect of God radiating outwards into the creation. Jesus is the Word. That is God communicating through the energies of light and love. In Jesus, God, as the Word, self-reveals in the contours of the human face and in the unfolding of the events in a human life. And from his opening words, John quickly sketches out his plot line. God's self-giving as the Word has come into the world, but the world is not ready for this and fails to recognize what God is doing. Because the world remains mired in the self-interests of the status quo. John's story of how the Creator pours into and becomes one within the creation presents us with the stark outlines of a choice. Do we make the choice to believe or not? To believe, inspired by John's story, to become allied with God's purposes for the incarnation. And so you see, each evangelist constructs a story that makes sense of Jesus' birth in the context of their own time and place. And each of these stories poses for us a particular challenge. But all the challenges funnel down to one thing: a choice to accept or not accept. We modern Western people are preoccupied with the question of truth. Is this version of events, is this story true or not? We tend to treat the birth narratives in the Gospels as fairy stories, for which many of us now place in the not true category. But the question, is this story true or not true, is the wrong question, because it doesn't get us to where we need to be in relation to the story. The real question is, what implications flow from believing or not believing in this particular story? We choose whether to find value or not in these large faith stories. And so the choice of the story is always ours. The enchanted magical realism of the Matthew and Luke stories of Jesus' birth among angels and shepherds and wise men may no longer speak to us as once it might have to previous generations. Yet buried in these stories lie a set of tensions that do speak to us today. Tensions between safety and risk, between invulnerability and vulnerability, between collaboration and resistance, between insiders and outsiders. And in the cosmic expansiveness of John's narrative, this might better speak to us in this science fiction-rich postmodern imagination. Perhaps it speaks to us in a way that for many of us, Matthew and Luke's enchanted birth stories once functioned for those with a pre-modern mindset. And I can put my hand up and say that, yes, for me, John's more cosmic and expansive reframing of the Creator's entry into the heart of the creation fits better with my sci-fi quantum field influenced imagination. Picture, if you will. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The light shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, God's only Son, full of grace and truth. Scrolling across the wide screen of the new Star Wars epic. I believe in the gospel stories, all of them. I believe in these stories, not because I mistake them for a literal description of actual historical event. I believe in these stories because believing in them has changed my life. I believe these stories because to reject them is to reject the implications for human living that these stories convey. To reject these expansive stories is to prefer lesser and more self-serving stories that in the end impoverish and limit my imagination, cramping the space in which I have for creative living. I choose these stories to live by because they are large and expansive, and they give me lots of room to grow and to develop and change. I believe in these expansive stories because they explain a great deal to me about the world in which I find myself. And to not accept them, to not believe them, is to resist and to work against God's healing of a broken humanity in a broken world. So the stories matter, you see, because good stories break the power of the illusion that we do not have any choice, as if there are no other stories to draw from but the negative, small, and debilitating stories that crowd in around us through the 24-hour news cycle. It's to assume that we have no other way of reframing some of the more difficult stories in our own lives. Viewed in this way, the Christmas story might require from us a much closer examination. May the stories we choose to live by enliven us to the invisible geography that each day invites us to new frontiers, breaking the dead shell of yesterday's, risking being disturbed and changed, giving us courage to live the lives we long to live, and to postpone no longer the life we came here for, and waste our hearts on fear no more. Amen.